Joe Marshall, CBI Associate Editor, and welcome to this CBI Growth Podcast. Today I'm joined by Saima Kolasi-Aldridge, our Chief Campaign Director here at the CBI. Saima, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Very glad to be here for my first CBI podcast.
Well, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Coming up soon, we'll be hearing from our Director General, Tony Danker, for his take on the political speeches at the CBI annual conference. And from Tani Kumar, our Deputy Director of Decarbonisation, to hear a bit about green growth. We will also be hearing from a dragon, the star of BBC's Dragon's Den, Deborah Meaden. But before we get into that, Saima, just a few weeks ago, we had our first all-in-person annual conference since the start of the pandemic, and your first one since joining. You were host, which I have to say I thought you did wonderfully at, and I was not envious of doing. How did it go?
It was absolutely fantastic. So all of my favourite things in one place, apart from my family, obviously, are the members, politicians, journalists, leading thinkers. It was absolutely brilliant. And I also enjoyed hosting quite a lot. I do not agree with the people who said my pink suit had come in homage to Peppa Pig. It just went really well with the stage. But, you know, there was a lot to talk about in terms of growth, lots to talk about in terms of the opportunities, and lots to talk about in terms of the challenges. It was absolutely fantastic. And there's so much work coming out of it as well. I'm really excited for 2023.
Big event. And it was a great opportunity to hear from Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister as well, and Sir Keir Starmer, Leader of the Opposition. It was Rishi Sunak's first speech since becoming Prime Minister and Sir Keir's third time speaking to us at annual conference.
Yes, it was so great to have them both there, both of them, you know, making their case for being the party of business. That is what we need right now. We need growth. We need productivity. And both of them coming and saying that they want to be the people to do that was exciting. Now we need to think about what they actually said. And I'm sure I'll be talking to Tony about that a bit later on. But, you know, great to have them there.
Yeah, we will be hearing from Tony shortly. But before we do that, let's take it back a couple of weeks to the Vox in Birmingham and hear a little bit of what the two leaders had to say.
I want to build a better country where we get inflation down and grow the economy, where we cut NHS waiting times and improve the quality of care, and where we invest more in schools and give every child a world-class education. And critical to achieving all this is innovation.
This has to be a turning point. Britain needs a new business model. And that will be hard. Changing a business model is hard. You all know that. Nonetheless, it's time for all of us, government, business, trade unions, to get behind the idea, both basic and radical, that our country can grow in a way that serves working people, that higher productivity can come from unlocking their potential, and that we can work together to put their interests first. This has to be the common goal of our partnership, and it must set a new direction on growth.
Tony, great to have you here. Once again, you and I are getting together to talk all things politics and the economy.
Isn't that what we do every day, every week and every month?
Yeah, every day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Hopefully a couple off for Christmas, if that's all right.
Yep, you can have them.
Thanks very much. So we are just off the back of our CBI annual conference. Yep. We had the Leader of the Opposition and the Prime Minister there both making their case for growth, right? We had Rishi talking about a better UK. We had Keir Starmer talking about a new business model. It's pretty exciting to have both leaders fighting to be the party of business. But are you feeling optimistic?
Well, I'm definitely feeling optimistic about the personnel, right? We've got leading the Conservative Party. In the blue corner, we have Rishi Sunak and Jeremy Hunt. And both of them are extremely able, understand the economy inside out, are deeply thoughtful and good to work with. And in the red corner, we have Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, who are likewise incredibly engaged with business, have been since they were both in their jobs, thinking very hard about growth. So I feel like the raw material is there and that we have political leaders who I think are thoughtful about growth and are serious about growth. I think the risk for 2023 is that nobody really wants to talk about it because the politics feel all bad. They feel all hard and they would rather row with each other and grapple with each other than grapple with the real issues facing the country, which are incredibly hard ones and needs these serious politicians to take very seriously. And there's just a part of me that worries that politics will take us away from that space rather than towards it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it is also a bit of a problem. Next year is going to be the last full year we have before we get into election territory. But it already feels like there is electioneering happening. At our conference, they were talking a lot about, you know, the immigration issues that are facing the country right now. But there are also massive workforce issues. The Prime Minister himself, when he was Chancellor, talked about people, capital and ideas as the way to unlock growth. You heard Keir Starmer talking about how you can activate all different parts of the economy and make sure we have enough people. Do you think they can do it though?
Well, the immigration example is a very bad example for us all, really, because here is an issue that plays a serious role in growth. That's what the independent experts, the OBR, said. And we had the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition make quite populist statements from the platform on that topic. We can't keep making populist statements about growth because, look, it's going to be hard. Number one, the Bank of England aren't going to help because they're going to have to put interest rates up before they come down. The government's coffers aren't going to help because, as we heard the Prime Minister and the Chancellor, we need to cut spending or raise taxes rather than the opposite. So that's not going to help with growth. So then you get into all the territory of reforms or initiatives or measures that could help growth but are not politically popular. Our relationship with the European Union, planning reform, the way we regulate our economy and whether or not it's excessive. There's no votes in these things. But ultimately, I think the challenge the politicians have got is that the public know full well whether or not a political leader is going to put the economy first, is serious about growth, is willing to take the tough decisions you need in order to build the economy you want. And I think they will not think very highly of politicians who run away from that stuff and just say what's popular rather than what's needed.
I think I completely agree. And going into the new year, we've got both parties understanding the need, but they're facing tough political choices. You've given a list there of the things that we think they might need to do pretty quickly in the new year. So yeah, I think there's no money left. The elephant in the room is how do you get growth going when the economy looks the way it does? We had our forecast come out recently, and again, it's talking about things not looking great next year. But you and I talk to business leaders every day up and down the country, and they're all talking about their investment plans for New Year.
You know, that's right. I've been around the country. I've been on a lot of trains. I've had a lot of lunches. And it's very interesting. I do this thing at the beginning of every lunch where I say, right, hands up if you think you're going to grow this year or next year even. And I have to tell you, the majority of hands go up. And I say to everybody, hang on a second, how can this be true? How can it be that all of you from every sector and every region are optimistic about growth, and yet here we are sitting on recession scenarios? And when you open up the conversation, they'll tell you, look, I think I'm going to grow. I think the signs of demand are good. But actually, we've all got a recession scenario. We've all got a risk scenario. We think it could be quite good and we might grow, but it might all be 10 to 20% down. And you think to yourself, wow. So you're going in already, it's December. You're going in to January, not yet sure whether your central scenario for growth is going to happen or your risk scenario hitting your bottom line is going to happen. And that's where they are. And that's why I've been saying, you know, there's still a lot to play for, right? I actually think that business people are looking for reasons to believe, looking for reasons to invest. As you say, they got the plans. Many of them have got the money, but they are looking for reasons to invest. And I think, therefore, what they hear from the government, what they hear from people like you and I, it does have a bearing on whether or not they say, do you know what? Let's go for it. There's enough good news here to go after. And our scenario this morning for recession next year was shallower than both the OBRs and the Bank of England. And hopefully that is an example of, hey, you know, this is going to be a shallow recession that lasts a year. You should already be thinking now about investing for growth this year that really kicks in the year after.
So there are opportunities, and we need to make sure that business isn't going to go into hibernation, because if we want to improve living standards, if we want to grow the economy and all of the reasons that's important, we have to get business investing. Our forecast was saying that business investment isn't where it needs to be. But as you say, there are businesses that are wanting to invest and willing to invest. So it's on government and on us, government to kickstart it and on us to then follow through.
Yeah.
Green growth, that's one of the biggest ones we have. We know that in our Seize the Moment paper that we put out a couple of years ago, green growth is one of the biggest economic prizes that we have out there. And we know that businesses are really, really willing to invest and really wanting to invest if they have the right framework. There's also a global race here. The UK could be really leading the way on a whole bunch of different things like hydrogen, sustainable fuels, all of that stuff. What do you think the government needs to do to get green growth going?
You know, it's really interesting, the whole area of green growth. I have the pleasure of talking once or twice a year to all my opposite numbers in the G7 countries. We have this group called the B7, which sounds far more exciting than it is. But it's basically all the sort of would-be CBI chiefs of the different G7 countries. And every time I meet with that group, they are amazed at how green UK PLC is. Not only in clean energy, because everybody, as you say, is in a race for clean energy, but outside of the energy sector, whether or not it's in retail or financial services or manufacturing, everybody is further ahead on the decarbonization agenda than the rest of the world. But here's the problem. That should be our advantage, but we are not hammering home that advantage. I am really worried that in areas such as electric vehicles, for example, where Britain did have some advantages, we are falling behind, right? The President of the United States in his Inflation Reduction Act has basically given enormous tax credits for people to decarbonize. The Europeans are way above our levels of public investment in renewable energy. So the risk is, whilst we dilly-dally here about green growth, the rest of the world could absolutely eradicate our leadership position. And when we looked, as you say, and seized the moment last year, our plan for profitability in 2030, the money was green. That's where the growth is. That's where the prizes are. And I think the government need to get the memo. Boris Johnson actually was incredibly good at this. You know, there are many things you could say about Boris Johnson, good and bad. One of the best things I would say about him was he was the champion for Britain to win in the global green economy. We need that spirit back from Rishi Sunak. We need that spirit from Keir Starmer. We're already playing catch up. Let's not let that get out of hand.
But we must be honest with ourselves. Part of the reason we ended the free movement of labour was to rebuild public consent in our immigration system. If we're going to have a system that allows businesses to access the best and brightest from around the world, we need to do more to give the British people trust and confidence that the system works and is fair. That means tackling illegal migration. And that's what I'm determined to do.
We've talked about immigration. But actually, if you want to grow the economy, you need productivity and you need a workforce. Immigration is one part of the workforce debate. There's also workforce inactivity. There are also skills shortages as well as labour shortages. So what are your hopes for the next year?
OMG, Saima. I think skills policy should be really simple. But Britain has been serially bad at it. Here's what I think we should do. Number one, you ask, what skills does the economy need now and for the next, I don't know, 5 years? Number two, what skills do we have in the country? Number three, for the skills that we don't have in the country, let's have fixed-term immigration to bring in people whilst we haven't got them. And number four, whilst doing that, let's invest in those workplace skills. That feels to me so simple. But it is not the way the British skills system works. Immigration works in a completely different department to skills. We don't sit down and have a shared analysis of the shortages we have. We've waited over 2 years now for a shortage occupation list. Government should be a co-investor with business in workplace skills. You probably don't know this, but the British government invests less than most of our major competitors into workplace skills. We do mostly pre-23. By the way, so does business, right? We should be doing a lot more on post-23. Can we forever sit down and deal with this in a straightforward manner? Then we'll know what we need from immigration. Then we'll know what we need from the skills system. You see, it's that easy.
It is that easy. What I find frustrating about this is no one seems to be willing to have these conversations in the round. There are lots of parts of the problem, to the workforce problem. That means there are lots of solutions. But exactly as you say, things are dealt with in different Whitehall departments by different teams who aren't talking to each other. Both sides of the house need to get serious about this, because if we want to grow and if we want to upskill, we want to, you know, optimism, opportunities, there's lots out there. But if you don't have the workforce that can take advantage of that, we're not going to get any further.
Can I have another little rant about this?
Go on. So
if you are economically inactive, your department is the DWP. If you're an immigrant and you think you've got some skills to come to Britain, your department is the Home Office. If you're a young person and you're trying to get skills, then your department is the Department for Education. If you're an old person, Your department is the Department for Education, who, by the way, haven't quite internalized that they need to think about the whole workforce rather than just pre-23. If you're a business, and this is part of your competitiveness challenge, your department is none of the above. It's the business department. And at the end of the day, the people that structure the incentives or the funding are the treasury. So I think most businesses are pulling out their hair with where you go to get a skills strategy for Britain put together. It does, as you say, cross all those departments. And I'd love to see the Prime Minister grip this. And for Labour, I'd love to see Keir Starmer grip this. You can't talk about these things in isolation. They all work together.
We won't ignore the need for workers to come to this country. We can't have a situation, as we did with HGV drivers, where temporary shortages threaten to cripple entire sectors of our economy. That would be anti-growth, and it would be anti-business. But I want to be clear here. With my Labour government, any movement in our points-based migration system, whether via the skilled worker route or the shortage occupations list, will come alongside new conditions for business. We will expect you to bring forward a clear plan to boost skills and more training, for better pay and condition, for investment in new technology.
So we all know why this is important. We all know from our own forecast, the pressure on households is not going away. That's why economic growth is important. That is why building up our economy and raising living standards is important. So looking ahead to 2023, what are the three big things you're looking out for?
Look, the first one has to be cost of living first and foremost, right? Cost of doing business for firms is driven by that inflation, as is those incredibly punishing situation that a lot of households find themselves in because of inflation. So I think government continuing to stand by people as they confront cost of living challenges, that has to be number one. Number two, the great frustration about wage increases that people are getting at the moment, which are higher than we've given before, is that they are short still of inflation. In other words, we've for the wrong reasons, we're paying people more. We're having to pay people more because of inflation, and we can't keep up with inflation to pay them because then we'll worsen inflation. The only way you get sustainable wage growth in the long run is through productivity growth. And we just can't run away from that anymore. 15 years we've been running away from it. So can we in 2023 grip the levers of productivity growth in our economy, which were brilliantly laid out by Rishi Sunak in his May's lecture, and let's do something about them. And then I think third and finally, it has to be a green year. It just has to be the year. I mean, Putin's war teaches us many things, but above all, it teaches us we can't rely on a fossil fuel economy anymore. We can't afford to, not just for the sake of the planet, but we can't afford to literally from our pockets, given our bills. So let's have people who need the most help protected through another difficult year. Let's get productivity growth going so that the wage increases of the future are bigger than inflation, not less than it. And finally, let's have a green year where finally, once and for all, Britain realizes its potential economically in terms of its contribution to the climate. And we have proper energy security, so we're not at the mercy of Vladimir Putin.
I get 2 days off at Christmas. Thanks very much. We should give other people some time off over Christmas. But there's still a few days left of this year, and then there's 2023.
Yes.
What do you want everybody to be doing? What are the CBI going to be doing? What do you want government to be doing to prep for the year ahead?
I want everybody to lie down, go to sleep for 2 weeks, because this has been the most unbelievable year. We've had a large number of prime ministers, chancellors, business secretaries, home secretaries, economic policies.
There's been a few, I've lost count.
And all of us have been dealing with incredible amount of volatility. So can please everybody sleep. Then when we wake up and we come back, I think we need to get really serious about this theme of growth, right? And I think it's going to take ingenuity, actually. I think businesses have been innovating like crazy for the last 2 years because of COVID. We've all, you know, changed our markets and changed our channels and changed our web delivery. We've changed everything. And secretly, I think our bodies want to stop now, but we won't be able to. Next year, we're going to have to get ingenious about continuing to innovate and grow. And I think policy needs to as well, right? I think people talk a lot about treasury orthodoxy or government orthodoxy or regulatory orthodoxy. We all need as a country to work out, hey, how does Britain grow, right? After COVID, which everyone's had, after Brexit, which we've just had, with an energy market spike coming from a war, with labor shortages worse in this country than in some others, we really need to get serious about what it's going to take to grow the economy. What's the economic model of Britain that's going to have highly capable, highly ambitious, well-skilled people working in firms that are doing great, exporting lots, doing great, investing, innovating? We need a fresh conversation about that. And we need a can-do attitude. I very much hope that politics doesn't bring us down next year. I hope that it lifts us up and it rewards people who have got ideas, imagination, drive, innovation. That's the politics we need next year.
I totally agree. And we do have that. We see it in our business leaders every day, that drive, that ingenuity, that need to succeed. We just need to make sure that the politics matches that.
Look at us talking ourselves into a positive mode.
Absolutely.
And there's not a lot of positivity around. But I do think that actually, in a way, look, there's a lot of debate about Brexit. Let's not have that debate. But the one thing Brexit was always going to do to UK PLC and to all policymakers was to force us to have a conversation with ourselves about what is the national strategy to be competitive in the new world. And we cannot put off that conversation, and we cannot get distracted by another conversation. Because if we do, we are not going to have a decade of growth and prosperity for all our people, unlike the last 10 years that we've had where we haven't had that. So I'm afraid there's nowhere to hide, folks. It's time to discuss how post-Brexit, post-COVID Britain is competitive in the world and therefore grows jobs and opportunities for everyone. I am ready to have that conversation. Saima, you look ready to have
Absolutely.
That conversation.
The stakes are higher, aren't they? With the economy where it is, the stakes are higher. There is no time to not have this conversation anymore. We're feeling optimistic about the opportunities that are available.
And if you add to that the 20 million people listening to this podcast right now who are optimistic about those opportunities, who want to have that conversation, then it's really only 630 MPs in Westminster that need to join us.
And on that note, I think I will look forward to spending 2023 with you, convincing all of those people that this is the thing that we need to do. We need to go for growth.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks to Tony for talking to us there. Simon, you and Tony were just talking about workplace activation and the need to get more workers into the market. Now, something I know you've been thinking a lot about is how to get parents back into the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about that. There's, as we were saying, there are lots and lots of different aspects of our workforce challenge right now in the UK and the fact that we don't have enough workers in the UK. One big part of that is also inactivity as a result of childcare problems. We had 43,000 women leaving the labour market this year to look after family, and 30% have reduced their hours. And that is the first time in a number of decades that, those numbers have increased like that. So we do need to do something about this if we are going to make sure that we're activating every part of our workforce. There's no one solution to our skills and worker shortages. There are lots of different solutions. Tony and I were just talking about all of the different departments that are involved in this and all of the different issues that are facing the UK. But in terms of the childcare issue, in our recent employment trend survey, one in three businesses thought that government should be prioritising childcare reform and subsidising it to help getting parents back into work. So this is also a business issue. This is something that our members are talking to us about on a regular basis.
So what specific asks have we got to reform that system?
There are a number of different ways that government could be looking at this. They could be, the quickest way is to extend and amend tax-free childcare, because that's the best and quickest existing mechanism to get more people back into the workforce. There's, you know, couples with two children can now expect to spend 26% of their household income on childcare alone. And compared to our OECD partners, that's really, really high. And there's a lot of money that you can be bringing into the economy, lots of workers that you could be bringing into the economy if we do that stuff. And then in the longer term, government should look to have an independent review on how you can reform things for the better. And by the way, that's not about ratios necessarily. That is about making sure that you can provide affordable, high quality childcare that has a really positive impact on outcomes in the future, but also helps people to get back to work.
So we heard Tony's top three sort of wishes for 2023, top three reflections going forward. How about yours?
So I might not give you three, but because I think I've got one which encapsulates everything that I want for next year. As I was saying to Tony, this is the last full year of government before we have an election, if my prediction on the election, when that comes, is correct. So there's a lot to get done and there's not very much time. There's also a lot of opportunity that business wants to seize and the economy needs business to seize. So my one hope for next year, as businesses are making their investment plans and politicians are returning to Parliament, to Westminster, to every region, to every nation, because this is actually about every part of the country as well, is that they put the economy first and they make the tough political choices, whether that's on skills or planning reform or the things that we need in order to get greater sustainable growth and increase our productivity in the UK, that they make sure that they prioritise that next year and that business then meet that ambition and take advantage of the opportunities and seize those prizes and do the things that they need to do to get the country going again. That is my hope for 2023.
Sounds good. One's better than three when it's as good as that, I think. What's your prediction for when the election is?
So my election prediction. I do quite like this question. I think it will be towards the end of 2024. And I hope that given the turmoil that we've had politically in recent months and years, that we do get a chance to spend some time on the economy and spend some time on growth and spend some time on raising living standards, supporting sustainable wage growth and making sure that, you know, the recession is as short and as shallow as possible. So, election at the end of 24.
You heard it here first. I'll hold you to that. We'll talk to Tani Kumar from the CBI's decarbonisation team shortly to hear a bit more about green growth. But before that, let's go back to the Vox in Birmingham and hear from star of BBC's Dragon's Den, Deborah Meaden.
Generally, sustainability is usually about wasting less and using your resources more wisely. Well, that sounds like good business to me. I think business is the perfect place. And actually, I've got to tell you, business at the moment, you in this room are the people who are driving sustainability because it's not right off the government's agenda. So this is where we can genuinely make change. So it was very interesting. I received a report about people's behaviour now in terms of the internet, and this is Google. And basically it was saying that actually the language hasn't changed, so the consumer is really worried. Businesses are still really worried about sustainability, but there is concern that there's a gap between the says and the do's. So, you know, I say I'm worried about it, but there's a big gap between actually what I'm going to do about it. But we absolutely, the prize is there for the taking because the consumer will switch again just like that. And I'm going to expect you as a business to be fulfilling what I want and what I need. And businesses that have allowed it to drop off the agenda are going to be paddling like crazy, trying to catch up with those businesses that are saying, actually, we're going steadily, we're doing this, we're going to carry on. We have started this is really, really important, and we are going for it. Now, I care about the environment, but I care about business. And I genuinely, I say to all the businesses that I speak to, do not let it drop off your agenda, because I promise you, you will be caught out very, very quickly by the consumer when they're back on to say, no, we demand this, because they're going to demand it really, really quickly.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Now, we've just heard from Tony and Simon a little bit earlier. We talked a little bit about green growth and certainly sort of what we expect from government on that. But what are the opportunities for business going into 2023 when it comes to green growth?
Thanks, Joe. It's a great question. And looking back at the last few years, what we've seen on the decarbonisation and green growth agenda has been a real mixed picture. If I look at 2021, obviously everything in our discourse and public policy domain was dominated by COP26. And that was a year where we really set out a strategy, the UK's net zero strategy, with some roadmaps for net zero going into that summit for the UK to really put its stake in the ground and show the world what we meant by delivery on net zero. This last year, 2022, we wanted to focus a little bit more on how do we implement that. But obviously, with the unfortunate events of the war in Ukraine, a lot of the conversations have been dominated by energy security and resilience. And I think with the members this year and the whole of the business community, alongside households as well, we've been reminded that we cannot take energy for granted. But also it's brought front of mind that the transition to net zero is going to require a lot of change across households and businesses. And it's really going to take a partnership between both those players, us in the business sector and government, to think about some of those solutions, whether that's, you know, on energy efficiency, looking at how do we deploy more renewables in our systems, making actually sure that our infrastructure is up to scratch to actually withstand that level of renewables as well. So we've learned a lot in the last 2 years, but one thing that we've sort of lost our way on most recently is actually looking at the opportunities that come from net zero. And I'm talking about the job opportunities here, the skills, alongside obviously reaching that ultimate decarbonisation of our economy. So looking ahead with the business community, we've already seen the opportunities from our own decarbonisation pathway. The UK has been a leader in this space. We had the Climate Change Act, which has set a precedent globally for making sure that climate is at the centre of our policy agenda. So we really need to harness that and what we've achieved through the developments of offshore wind, looking at the deployment of clean air zones across our country, and really translate that to the opportunity that can be had in every sector of the economy, and also empower households to be part of that journey. So looking to the start of the year, we've got to see some key policy announcements from the government. What's really interesting in the last week is that we've seen the energy bill that's back on the table. That's a huge, significant win for all of us across this space. The energy bill has some really important regulation there on business models that are really critical to get some of those big investment decisions across the line. And in particular, we're looking at things such as hydrogen and carbon capture utilisation and storage, really important to shore up our energy security in the UK. We've really got to see a lot more, you know, power behind energy efficiency. We just got, you know, significant movement to some extent, most recently in the autumn budget with moves on household energy efficiency, a new scheme called Eco Plus. But even still, those are quite minor changes, actually. We're going to need a lot more spend there and a lot of political will, but also public will to really actually turbocharge that agenda and make changes in our homes. But we also saw that missing quite a bit on the industrial side. So we need a lot more power behind energy efficiency. And then lastly, something that's quite important is just looking at the macro lens to all of this. We've spoken about at the CBI looking at the economic forecast for the next year or so. We're in a recession. Economic opportunities from investing in the green growth transition are significant. And that's what we want to be working on to demonstrate that. And already globally, we're seeing that the race to net zero is on. The US Inflation Reduction Act has really proven that if the government gets behind this agenda, public investment and private investment is going to follow. And also in the EU, we've seen a huge package called Repower EU, which is trying to serve the same purpose. So we've really got to get our act together in the UK and actually show that we're here, not only setting the policy trajectory, but actually delivering on that, implementing that and setting an example for the next few months ahead.
Thank you, Tania. So it's going to be a busy year and there's quite a lot to do on the green agenda by the sounds of things.
Yes, absolutely is. Joe, and watch this space for more to come from the CBI team.
So that just about wraps things up for us today. Saima, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me. I really hope I get to come back and talk all things politics, the economy and growth. See you next time.
Well, it's been fun. I'm sure there will be plenty of opportunities to do that coming into 2023. Thank you for listening to the CBI Growth Podcast. For more content from us, check out www.cbi.org.uk.